Thursday morning, Evan Bray. Good to have you here as we are back again today at Live at Ag in Motion. It is day number 3, the final day for the show, but it runs all day long today till 4:30 this afternoon. So if you are headed towards Langham, lots of time to come on down and check out the latest in equipment and innovation and technology and perhaps bump into your neighbor. There's been a lot of that going on down here as well. And if you happen to be walking by the Co-op Farm building, you can't miss the building, big red, beautiful building on the Co-op Agro site, right on the corner of 4th and BC. Be sure to stop by and say hi. That's where we are broadcasting live from. We did all day yesterday and again today. So great to have you with us. Well, we've got lots on the show today. A lot of talk about smoke lately, not because it's a problem here in Saskatchewan, which is a little different than what we saw last year. You think about the number of events that were canceled, postponed as a result of the thick smoke over the province of Saskatchewan. This year, the wildfires, they're quite bad in BC, a little bit more to the north, and serious wildfires in Ontario. It's that smoke that tends to be drifting down into the United States, which, of course, has got Donald Trump riled up, threatening to tariff Canada because of the wild smoke. We've got a specialist, a severe weather specialist, joining us on the show to talk about that today. The premiers are asking Prime Minister Carney today for a plan to deal with tariffs. They want to get this Kuzma deal closed as well. The Prime Minister has said he has had a strategy, but we've got a guest who says the strategy that Carney has employed has been flawed. Brian Lilly of the Toronto Sun will be joining us to talk a bit about that. Given the fact that we are at Ag in Motion today, it's a great time to discuss agronomics and the science behind farming. That's coming up on the show, as well as the unintended consequences on air conditioning, challenges that are facing doctors. Are politicians being paid too much? I've got a guest who suggests that they are. And is space getting carried away? Now, the latest news, there's an authorization that's been given to put giant mirrors in space to intensify the sun's rays hitting the Earth. Our favorite astronomer joins us to tell us why she doesn't think this is a great idea. Oh, by the way, typically on a Rider game day, you would hear us doing green and white prognostications. Given the fact that we're live on location, makes it very complicated to do that sort of a phone-in contest. So it's been moved to 4:30 today. Green and white prognostications happening at 4:30 today during the Green Zone, right before the Green Zone's pregame show. Of course, the Rider game kicks off at 7 o'clock tonight. The Green Zone pregame show at 5, which means green and white prognostications at 4:30. That gives you a sense of the lineup, and we should get going. Here is today's Big Talker.
Let's begin.
The Evan Bray Show. The Big Talker.
I mentioned the wildfire smoke once again rolling into Saskatchewan. Just a little bit. There's been touches of a haze across Saskatchewan over the last little while, but nothing like what we saw last year. Raising concerns, though, across Canada and even into the United States about air quality. There are close to 1,000 wildfires burning across the country right now. 56 is the number in Saskatchewan. Much of the province has found itself under what they consider a yellow air quality warning as of yesterday afternoon. So I mentioned this earlier. Down south, we know our neighbors aren't happy with us. The smoke is rolling into their cities and communities. This, of course, comes after we've sent countless Canadian firefighters to battle blazes in their country. But do Americans have a point? The U.S. president said, I'm not happy with the way Canada is managing their forests. They need to do a better job to prevent these wildfires from burning. Some are critical of our wildfire response. Some experts say wildfires are almost impossible to fight. This is why I'm excited to have our first guest on the show today. Kyle Britton is an Alberta-based weather specialist. He's got a passion for forecasting and documenting, reporting on severe weather events. He worked as a weather professional for many years. He spent several summers working as a wildland firefighter on the Rapitac crew in northern Alberta. And I'm happy to say we have the fella known as Bad Weather Kyle. If you find him online, badweatherkyle.com. Bad Weather Kyle is joining us by phone. Kyle, thanks so much for taking our call today.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Good to have you here. Tell me how you got into the job that you're doing now. You are passionate about weather systems and forecasting. Your photographs are absolutely stunning on your website. Where does this passion come from for you?
You know, it's similar to a lot of storm chasers, actually. I grew up afraid of storms. When I was a kid, I would hide in the basement whenever a thunderstorm would approach, and I was terrified of the thunder and lightning. But at the same time, that kind of spurred on this interest or this fascination in storms. So I'd have to go to the library after the storm passed and get books, look at pictures and learn about it. And then it just kind of stuck with me. Eventually, you kind of mostly overcome your fear. I'm still a little bit nervous of being outside when there's intense lightning, but for the most part, being near storms is energizing to me. So, yeah, I think it's kind of how it started. It goes all the way back to early childhood.
Well, I've followed and read lots of different stuff that you've done. I've also enjoyed your pictures. The stuff that you do, the photography, I just have to take a second to say it's outstanding. BadWeatherKyle.com is the website if you want to check out some of these incredible photographs. But you have a talent, my friend, for sure.
Yeah, thanks for that.
So we talked about this off the start of the show. Donald Trump has threatened Canada with tariffs. This is really nothing new. However, the tariffs over the wildfire smoke. Normally, we kind of take what Trump says with a grain of salt. Does he have a point here? Are we doing a bad job of managing our forests?
Well, this discussion really needs some perspective. I think when, you know, Mr. Trump and other politicians in the U.S. deal with smoke that rolls in, very occasionally, by the way, I'll say, you know, in recent years, we've seen a spate of bad fire seasons in Canada. So this has become a problem, you know, where you'll get a little bit of a northwest wind that blows that smoke into the states, the eastern states, D.C. in particular. You know, out west here, it's not just another Tuesday, but out east, as soon as they smell that smoke, they're like, well, you know, this is a forest management issue. Canada's not doing enough. And we're like, what are we talking about here? I mean, western United States has a different type of forest. I think probably in their minds, they're thinking about American forests, so similar to the forests that you see in the mountains of southern British Columbia, but the boreal forest is an entirely different beast. What we're proposing, it's like forest management. What does that even mean? Well, typically you need roads because that's an area where you're going to access to do things like harvesting timber or, you know, fuel thinning. You know, that's just like thinning forest vegetation to prevent wildfires, conducting prescribed burns, which, by the way, produces more and more smoke. So the reality is the boreal forest in Canada, probably at least half of it's not even managed at all. So a lot of these fires are just incredibly remote, and therefore it doesn't make any sense to try to go in there. It's not economically feasible. It's not ecologically feasible or desirable either, because these forests are meant to burn in many cases. And finally, I mean, once these fires get going in these extremely remote areas, there's very little you can do to stop them because they can burn very intensely. So can we do more? Well, I mean, I would say we could probably do more in terms of protecting our communities. We've lost a number of communities in Canada in recent years as a result of these high-intensity fires. So there's more we could probably be doing on the community level, fire-smarting communities, thinning fuels and conducting prescribed burns locally surrounding these communities and planning them in such a way that these high-intensity fires can't actually burn down the community once they approach. But in terms of these large tracts of remote boreal forest, what do they propose that we do? Are we going to go out and log the entire forest? Are we going to burn down the whole forest? It's just not feasible.
Mm-hmm. We're chatting today with Kyle Britton, a severe weather journalist, a Canadian journalist from Western Canada. You can find him online at badweatherkyle.com. There's been a lot of articles and conversations over the last week or so since these comments came out, and some people saying, well, you know, do we get smoke from U.S. fires? Does the weather system predominantly drive our smoke southward?
No, it definitely goes both ways. And like I say, in recent years, because since 2021, you know, now we're getting into our sort of five out of six seasons are really bad for fire in Canada. So we are producing a lot more smoke than we have been historically. And some of that does blow southeastward into the eastern United States. But in the past, historically, and even now ongoing, you know, in the western U.S., often smoke will also blow northeastward into Canada. And like I say, because we're probably more accustomed to wildfire and wildfire smoke in the western half of Canada and the United States, it just doesn't make news. We're like, it's another smoky week from, you know, Washington, Oregon, even California, they're on fire. We got a southwest wind blowing that smoke into Canada. It doesn't make news. But out east, you know, you get this occasional extreme fire weather event, you know, like, for instance, July 13th, when most of northwestern Ontario was on fire. That smoke happens to blow southeastward into, you know, the populated corridor of the eastern United States. You're going to hear about it. So smoke definitely blows both ways.
There's a bit of a political side to this conversation, as typically is the case. I actually had the premier of our province on yesterday, and Premier Mo said, with regard to the smoke issue in the States, if the United States didn't have the steep tariffs that they do on softwood lumber, we would be doing more business. More business generates more revenue, and pieces of that revenue are used by governments at all levels to do things like forest management. So have you heard that kind of that thread or that angle of the discussion, that actually the tariffs the United States are putting on the Canadian lumber industry are in effect preventing us or not giving us the funds we would need to better manage forests, even if it is around communities to try and prevent loss of life and damage to structures?
You know, I'm not overly well versed on that angle of this discussion. I will just say and reiterate, like I said before, there is more that we can be doing that is feasible in terms of protecting communities and whatnot. This could come down to, like, how are we zoning our communities? Where are we putting our soccer fields? Where are we putting wetlands? Where are we putting different types of less flammable tree species and things like this? Ensuring people at the community level are, avoiding having high fuels near their home, like in terms of not putting bushes right up against the house, or, you know, having stacks of firewood in the backyard, making sure the grass is trimmed, things like that. There's things that we can do on the community level that are realistic for many communities throughout Canada's forests. But like I say, coming back to the forest management issue, it's just simply not realistic for our vast tracts of unmanaged forest. The primary fire suppression technique that we use in those boreal forests is basically just let the fire burn, because it's just too expensive and it's not ecologically advantageous to put them all out.
Which I think brings about another point, because many people, and I think often it's tied to communities that worry about the threat that a wildfire can present to their home or to their resort community or whatever the case may be, but there's always this criticism of the watch it burn versus the respond to the burn or the start of the fire sometimes is brought into question. Is there too much time? But that is part of the philosophy, because we know that fires are a natural occurring thing that really are part of regeneration of our forests.
Yeah, absolutely. And we have to remember the fact that there are limited resources. We have limited budgets, limited resources to work with. And when everyone's committed across the board in a really heavy active season across Canada or the United States, what are you going to do? Like, you're going to prioritize the fires that are threatening human lives, communities, values. You're not going to be sending them into the middle of nowhere, where in many cases, I mean, we're talking, this is really far north. If you get a lightning strike and extreme fire danger exists, this fire is going to balloon to a size that it's just unmanageable. And once these fires get going, the intensity of the fire is so much that you can't really, your fire suppression efforts are going to fail, because the flames are literally three times the height of the trees, and they're giving off just like fierce radiant heat. You can't put people on the ground near fires like that. You can't drop water on them from aircraft, because it just evaporates on the way to the ground. So there's a lot of factors that we're looking at. So if it's a really remote area and it's not threatening these values or these communities, we're just going to let it burn. Like you say, this is a natural process in the boreal forest.
I've appreciated the chat. Thanks for the check-in today, Kyle. Great to have you on the program.
Cheers. Thanks for having me.